You're listening to Talk Soap. The first rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap. So lather up as the hosts catch you up in the week of Daytime Dish. Now, here are your hosts.
All right, we're right back with Talk Soap, the Hot Topics edition. We're going to cover some hot topics of the week real quick here. And first, a word from Oprah.
You are responsible for your life. And if you're sitting around waiting on somebody to save you, to fix you, to even help you, you are wasting your time because only you have the power to take responsibility to move your life forward. What matters is now, this moment, and your willingness to see this moment for what it is, accept it, forgive the past, take responsibility, and move forward. I came to realize that all the time I was praying to God, asking for God to do something, God was waiting on me.
All right. I just wanted to share that. Actually, Michael shared that today on Facebook, and I had heard that before because I usually subscribe to all of those things, and I used to watch Owen a lot when she was doing a lot of these segments. So thank you, Michael, for sharing that, because it is just a realization to remember to be responsible for your own life. You can't depend on anybody else to help you. You have to do the hard work yourself. So thank you, Michael, for that reminder.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so we're back, or we're continuing. This is the first time we're going to be splitting the show up into two different files. So if you missed today's Talk Soap about soaps, be sure to click here at this link and listen to the show, as I'm going to be splitting these up into two separate shows. All right, so Kelly is with us as well. Kelly, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, 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 good. All right, well, we're going to just jump right in it. We just have a few topics to talk about today, but actually, Michael and I are going to start it off by, gosh, the end of Rosie at the View happened today. Well, earlier this week, it was actually last time we were on the air Thursday, after we got off the air, it was announced that Rosie was leaving the View due to stress and a divorce or a separation from her wife, Michelle. And her cardiologist said something about that she needs to take some time off to enjoy her own View. So here is what she said earlier this week on her YouTube channel.
Okay, here it is in a nutshell. People are asking, why didn't we talk about my leaving The View today on The View? I want to let you know that everybody wanted me to talk about it. I didn't want to talk about it. I spoke about it during the press line on Friday night for the documentary that I did for HBO that premieres on Valentine's Day. I spoke about all the reasons, so you can Google, you know, why Rosie's leaving The View. People have written articles. People have made guesses or interpretations. But, you know, the truth is I had a heart attack 2 years ago, and stress is very bad for heart attack survivors. You should minimize your stress, maximize your exercise, and control your diet. That's what you need to do for a healthy heart. So that's what I'm doing. I'm minimizing my stress by leaving The View. And the stress that I'm having at home is not as easily remediable. Is that even a word? I don't know. But, you know, it's hard. Marriage is complicated, and I've got 5 kids. 4 of them are teenagers. And, you know, there's lots of stuff going on at home, and there's lots of stuff going on at work. And the only thing I can really control is the work by leaving. You know, I can turn that volume down all the way to zero and just focus on what I need to focus on, which is my health and my family. And that's it. So there it is. I don't want to talk about it on The View, but we're talking about it right here for you. Okay? So it was no one's fault but mine that I didn't discuss it today. Probably not going to discuss it tomorrow. My last show is Thursday, and then I'll be watching from home. Okay? Peace out. All is well. On we grow, people.
All right. And that was recorded on Monday on her YouTube channel. And then this is her final goodbye today on The View.
Well, everybody, I just want to say thank you to all the cast here and the crew, and mostly to Barbara Walters, who has always looked out for me in my life and career and is an amazing woman. We had lunch yesterday, and she sends her love, and I want to thank her for making this show and letting me be on it twice. There you go. And we've had fun, and I hope we're going to have more. And I'll come back and do an occasional crafting segment because I have a hot glue gun, and I will travel. Thank you. It's been really fun. Say bye-bye, Dakota. Say bye.
Bye.
We'll see you.
Well, as the show ever, as it always ends, it says, take a little time to enjoy The View. I'm not sure if I'm going to continue watching The View. But anyway, we'll get into that in a second. Michael, what are your thoughts about all this?
Oh, my goodness. You know, so last week, so excited. Rosie Perez was coming back. Couldn't wait because I love those original to me. I love those four panelists, and they were kind of all over the place. Guest host and all of that, and they were just back to the floor, and it made me so happy. Like, my dream has come true. We're here. And then you shared on Facebook or Twitter or both and tagged me in it about, did you see this? And I thought, why are you lying and spreading lies? This is not healthy for any of us. And I clicked on it, and I thought, I think this is real. And then more and more started coming out. And I have to say, I was obviously sad because every time, or both times that, you know, Rosie came on the show she had on the Oprah Winfrey Network, and then when she came back on The View, I have said that all is right in the world when Rosie O'Donnell was back on TV. And it just makes me happy. I enjoy her perspective. I just like seeing her. I like her interacting with people. And so it caught me by surprise. Then when I heard the reasons, I get it too. You know, like I'm just a regular person who has to have a job in order to survive. And so I wouldn't have the luxury of just, you know, leaving my job if, you know, something was going on in my personal life. And so I kind of think sometimes we want to hold celebrities to that same standard, like, you fix your stuff behind the scenes, but stay there for us. And the reality is she doesn't need to work. You know, she has more than enough money. She's fine. I think what she said is true. I want to know about what went down behind the scenes. You know, you hear these rumors about her and Whoopi not getting along, or her and the executive producer, and you know, but you never hear those stories when it's a man. And so part of me wonders how much of it is blown out of proportion, how much of it is just in the news because, oh, we love women catfighting and let's promote it and put it out there. So I don't know. She said her piece, and I think what she said is very true. She can't change what's going on at home. She can change her work, and she can change that by leaving. So it makes me sad. I'm still going to stick with it and see how it goes because I started watching because of Rosie, but I'm staying for Nicole. So I'm going to see how this plays out. But I was surprised it was so soon. But she'll do what she has to do. So
I totally agree. You know, as you know, if Nicole wasn't on, I probably wouldn't continue, but I'm going to keep watching it just to see how it goes and also see who they're going to put in as her temporary or her permanent replacement. The season doesn't end until May or June. I can't remember when the season is over. So there's still like a good 5 months or 4 or 5 months left. So they're going to have to find someone permanently because as we've seen, and I've made this happened, you know, back when Rosie left the first time, when they start putting a fifth person, even two or three people, one or two people extra guest co-host, there's something going on because what they're doing is, and this is just my opinion, and I saw it before when Rosie left before, and when Jenny McCarthy left last year, is that they're testing the waters to see who is a good co-host. And nonetheless, I thought Rosie Perez was leaving because there was a rumor that she was. So I thought all these co-hosts we've been seeing this whole month of February or January when she was rehearsing, I thought it was going to be to find someone to replace Rosie Perez. Now, all along, it's actually going to now be Rosie O'Donnell. Now, of the co-hosts that I've seen, there's some I do not want to ever see back on that show again. They either, A, didn't put any input into the show. Their laugh is horrible, and I won't mention her name, but her laugh irritates me to the core. There's people who don't add any input. So it's going to take a really strong person to bring that show back to its game because I watch Wendy Williams and I watch Wendy Williams now and every single day to get my hot topics is from her as well. And she said, and I'm quoting her, she said either A, cancel it because it's just unrecognizable. You don't see The Talk doing this every day, every other day. You know, The Talk is usually 99% of the time the same five girls. If one's out, then that's still four original girls are there. So either A, cancel it because the ratings are going to go down because a lot of them went, the reason why I went up and topped The Talk was because of Rosie O'Donnell coming back. So either do that. Wendy also said, go crawl yourself back to Joy Behar to bring her back. And then bring a muffin basket and beg and plead Barbara to be more on more often to make it more, more familiar. And then Wendy even said, which is not a good idea at all, because I know it wouldn't last longer than a half a second, was to go get Star Jones and bring her back, which would not work at all because she is nothing but a hot mess. So I don't know how they're going to be able to save The View. I honestly foresee, unless a major co-host comes in to bring the viewers in, I don't see it lasting the rest of the season. Either the season it'd be it, because right now, I mean, if you I've been listening to different perspectives from different people and Twitter and on Facebook, that, you know, Whoopi is very dominating. She likes to take control, and if you don't agree with Whoopi, she cuts you off. And if you've seen Rosie O'Donnell has been the one who you can see in her face where she is trying to overtalk to try to get her a point of view across, which is why it's called The View. But because Whoopi doesn't always believe in it, her idea or her thoughts on the topic, she just cuts her off, and it's becoming more of the Whoopi show. And now don't get me wrong, I love me some Whoopi Goldberg. She's an Oscar winner. She's a funny lady. She's good at moderating, but she's not the best moderator that show has ever had. Rosie, when she was in the position of moderating the show while Whoopi was out with back surgery, was the most fun this season yet, because Rosie was fun. She was funny. She was engaging. Her spirit was alive. And then, but the rotating panel is just too much for me. It gets confusing. It's like, it should be called the Whoopi Show with special guests, blah, 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 yeah. Because it's sad. It's very frustrating because Barbara Walters built this almost 17 seasons ago. And, you know, it's slowly, you know, with the loss of Rosie the first time, and then we lost Joy. Then we got Whoopi, which was great. And then we lost Joy Behar. Well, we lost Elizabeth Hasselbeck, but I don't think anybody cried over that. And then we lost Joy Behar, which was my favorite. That's why I tuned in after Rosie O'Donnell left the first time. And then with the addition of Jenny McCarthy, who was a complete fail. I'm sorry. She was just not a good person to be in there. And then we add Rosie Perez this season, which, you know, and I like Rosie Perez. I do. She just, for me, she just doesn't have it. And she's funny. She does bring a different perspective to it. She's a little bit different now that she has come back. So I'm getting used to her now. But she isn't quick like I want her to be. And there was rumors where she's saying that she can't read the real teleprompter right and pronounce some of the words right. And she's not as quick as, you know, I've read that. So I can see that too. But anyway, that's my spiel on it. Any rebuttal? I feel like we're in court.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I got some. For the 10th time, I didn't really watch it all that much before, so this is really my first time really, really watching it. And they just don't – I feel it's almost like with Days of Our Lives and the head writers. It seems like they're presented with an issue, and rather than seeing how it will play out, they just jump, we got to do something. And they started out the season with a whole new set, new colors. You know, they got a new logo, which I thought was great. They put the on top of The View instead of next to it, and they just – it just looked so good. And they sat on the couch with a coffee table instead of, you know, looking like all the other shows with sitting around a table. And it was just good. And they had a new cast. And then all of a sudden, ooh, this isn't the same. So what do? Get rid of the coffee table, high chairs. You know, they changed the set. They keep changing all these things. And I don't think the set looks as good as before. I do miss it, but, you know, I still watch it. But I feel that the, what I read maybe a few weeks ago, so it's not necessarily recent, was that overall the ratings for it weren't necessarily down, but the ratings in the target demographic, you know, women 18 to 49, that was down. So it's not as if they took a huge, huge hit, you know, overall. They're still getting numbers, they're still getting viewers. But I think what's hurt them the most is just what you said. We never know who we're going to see when we tune in. And when I started watching, it would make my day. I would come home from work, put it on, and I would have a good time getting to know these women. And now, you know, I'll come home and, this person's on and they're okay. And that person's on and they're okay. But then they would have five people at the table, and it was just too much. And I know it started with five panelists when the show started, but I think you need a good solid four. And if you're going to have a rotating person, maybe have like two or three people that you just kind of like keep bringing in. So it kind of that people were used to, but not just bringing anyone out of left field. I don't know. I think they need to take some time. And when this started, they had Rosie and they had Whoopi. And it kind of seemed at the 11th hour, that's where Nicole Wallace came from and Rosie Perez. And so I kind of went into it nervous, thinking, oh, they just hired these people. They have to get on the air. How's this going to go? And I liked both of them, you know, so I think it kind of worked out in a sense. But I think they need to take some time and get a really big person or a good person, like you said, or whoever they pick, give them a chance and kind of mold those relationships rather than just bringing someone in, because I don't want to see anyone new.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. So I haven't watched today's episode, and I don't know what's going to happen, online with any announcements of who. But I mean, I'm sure they're going to go back to having, you know, different people again. Now, I will say, just because I have a big girl crush from a gay man, I would like to see Naya Rivera on there. Because I love her on playing Santana from Glee.
Yeah.
She plays the lesbian on Glee. And then she recently, you know, she's even been open about her bisexuality, but she recently got married. But I like to see her on there, but that's just because of who's been on there. I want to tell you right now, and I don't care, I do not want Christella to be on that show as a permanent
role. I did not expect that. Okay.
I cannot stand her laugh. The other day, I don't know who they were interviewing. But she,
I thought you meant the girl from Destiny's Child. Okay, go on.
Oh, no, no. Michelle Williams, she was okay. I mean, she was all right. Yeah. She was just there because she was in New York for her musical or play or something. But I do not like Christelle. I've never watched a show. I'm not interested in it. Okay. But one time I was like, okay, that's cool. Let's try someone else. Uh-huh. But when they were interviewing Kim Cattrall the other day, she laughed so much that I could barely hear Kim Cattrall. And she does that. Now, when you listen to her, I'm sure she'll be back because she's promoting the her being on General Hospital, and then her shows on ABC on Friday nights. Just listen to her. She's just over the top. And there are some, I can't remember the names, where they just really just honestly don't bring anything to the table. I can't remember who it was the other day who did not speak for like the first three or four stories segments. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God. So whoever's in charge now, ABC News production, they need to really just beef this up. And if you're going to keep it. Otherwise, you know what? It's time to just tune out and pay attention to the view.
One thing I would like to see as well is they could take a lesson from CBS. And I know that this year, mid-season, not the ownership, but like who directed The View, it was moved out of the daytime portion and moved over to the news portion. So it's being overseen by different people who don't necessarily specialize in entertainment. That's fine. But there's no cross-promotion of any of their shows. Like, you have one soap left that's doing well in the ratings, and there's big stars on that show. And why are they never on? I think, what's the woman on CBS, Angelica McDaniel or something like that? And she does a great job of bringing the people from the soaps onto the talk, from what I hear. I don't watch it, but... she's proud of their daytime lineup, and she wants to cross promote. And I wish we had some of that. So I would love that. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna do one more little plug for Rosie. She has a brand new stand-up documentary that's coming out Saturday on Valentine's Day on HBO at 10:00. Here's a look at this, and then we're gonna bring Kelly in with the rest of the hot topics. Go ahead.
My children don't have any clue that I was ever an entertainer. Parker, when he was 4 years old, I took him to see Tarzan. 15 minutes into the movie, he stood on his chair and he said, "That monkey's my mama!" The hell do you say to that? I knew it was my daughter that looked it up because in the Google search, it said penis. Honey, before you want to see it, you should know how to spell it. The junk, as the men call it. Your junk is not appealing to anyone, really. Even to straight women. Most of my women friends are straight, and they've never, ever said to me, "Oh my God, Ro, last night I saw the most beautiful penis." She walked out of the bathroom just wearing a thong. I said, "That's how a thong is supposed to look on a person. A thong does not look like that on me. It looks like a magic trick that David Copperfield is doing. Because you can't see the straps that go around. They're hidden." When you're about to go in for major heart surgery, you start making deals with God. I was like, okay, listen. I will never make fun of another Republican. I'm still alive. Shut the hell up. Thank you very much.
All right, don't miss this. First time she's done a stand-up comedy tour video in it, I think, ever. I don't remember her ever doing a documentary like this. She's done many documentaries, and she talks about, she's a big fan of documentaries, and she's actually promoted a lot of good ones that I've written down that I want to go check out on Netflix. But anyway, don't forget A Heartfelt Stand-Up this Saturday, Valentine's Day, HBO, 10 p.m. There we go. Now, let's talk Grammys. Now, Kelly, did you happen to see any or all the Grammys?
No, I did not see any of the Grammys. I heard quite a few stories, but I was at work, so I didn't get to watch.
Yeah, well, it's.
I heard Kanye was a like huge douchebag again.
Again, you know, we thought we had no more drama after he went up and told Taylor Swift that Beyonce deserved that. And then once again, Beck wins Record of the Year, Album of the Year, whichever it was. And Beyonce was up for it as well for her latest album, Beyonce. And he goes up there, and then, but he actually goes up there to make a scene, but then goes down, and Beck kind of like wants to call him back up. But what the real douchebaggery of it was is when they did the side interview with him and Kim Kardashian and some other people that are up there. And he was just pretty much saying that Beck needs the respect artistry, and that Beyonce did, you know, a lot of hard work into her album. And I was just like, you know what, fuck that. Everybody up there has done hard work, or they wouldn't even be nominated. Even the people that are not nominated do hard work. Beyonce had already won 3 Grammys. She's won 20, I believe, total in her life. Come on, give Beck a chance. Beck apparently, through his peers, was voted as that award, and he also won another one or two awards himself. So Kanye, he needs to sit down and stay put. Michael, what did you think of that?
Oh, yes. And so I just don't understand. And at first when he went up, you know, kind of made it look like he was gonna, and then he kind of turned around. It was like, okay, a comedy bit, that's fine. Maybe at the VMAs, or I don't want to say a less important show, but the Golden Globes and the Grammys and the Oscars and the Tonys, like these are the real ones. You know, you don't need to be wearing shorts, Pharrell. You know, wear pants, wear a suit. You know, like these are the real deal looks that I look forward to. And so, one, while maybe it was supposed to be funny, that was not the place for it. And then the comments afterwards about respecting artistry. I mean, it's, they're, like you said, people are nominated and people are not nominated. They do good work. They have hard work. People like what they like. People clearly voted for him. Good job. You know, it's so rare that you're going to win that big award. You know, the fact that his moment to shine was kind of diminished or taken away or had the spotlight removed, I just thought wasn't fair. And Beyonce's great. I personally, I don't like this new album at all. So for me, I was like, I'm glad Beyonce didn't win. But I mean, that's just my personal taste. She works hard and does a great job, but not everyone likes Beyonce, and clearly she won other awards but didn't win this. So it wasn't so much about what he had to say, it was the manner in which he did it. If you want to be mad at the Grammys for how they're voted or how the nominations are made, I get it. Take it up with them. Do it in a respectful way. But and being a big name and being known and for being infamous, I mean, if he did it the proper way, I guess he could bring some light to it. He could kind of like get people interested in talking about it. But when you just go and steal a fellow artist's shine, I just thought that was disrespectful and rude.
Yeah, definitely. Any other comments on Kanye, Kelly?
I just don't. I mean, like, I guess, you know, as an artist, he should know, you know, like, how much time it takes to make a decent album. And, like, you know, the way his comments sound, you know, he makes it sound like Beck took a, you know, like a handheld tape recorder and recorded his album, you know, and then put it on CDs himself, you know, like it's making it sound like he thinks Beck doesn't have any talent. And I mean, like, obviously he does. I mean, like, you know, I remember a few Beck songs from my younger days. I say it like I'm 80 years old, but I mean, like, you know, that, what is that song? Loser. And then I learned some Spanish from that song, so it was even educational. and then that, what is it, Where It's At or whatever. I like that. Props to him for winning that award. Props to him for having enough respect for his peers that he got. I mean, like, because I feel like that's, you know, I almost feel like it's a popularity contest, too, where it's going to be like, you know, if you don't, you know, when was the last time Kanye won a Grammy? Did he win one this year? What I'm saying? Like,
I don't know if he did.
It just seems to me like you know, you're going to eventually get, like, blackballed by your peers if you continue to act like an idiot. But, I mean, that's just, I mean, I guess that's just the opinion of somebody who didn't actually watch it and just heard stories about what happened. I'm done.
Hello? Done?
Hello? Oh, hey, we're still here.
We are. Oh, it's our show now.
It is. We're running wild with the I was like, I didn't think that my opinion was so boring that it would put you guys to sleep, but apparently it did.
He is respecting our artistry by giving us our moment to shine, I think.
Well, that's sweet of him. That's precious.
I hope he comes back.
He said he got, what did he say? He got connected or something. Go ahead and start talking about Brian Williams. Oh. Brian Williams.
Have at it.
That story just absolutely blows my mind. Like, it went from, like,
sorry about that. I got disconnected. Go ahead.
Welcome back.
Yeah, right? But, I mean, like, to me it seems traumatic enough, like, that you were in a helicopter behind a helicopter that was shot down, you know? But to, you know, to almost, like, insert yourself in that story and then to top it all off, you speak at a you know, a recognition service for a soldier who was actually in the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad this, you know, and then tell the story, you know, like, hey, I was in that helicopter. Dude, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. Like, what is that? Like, I mean, like, is that one of those, like, you tell yourself a lie so many times you eventually begin to believe that it's true?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I guess that's what he did. I think it's freaking ridiculous, but I don't know.
Yeah. Now, Michael, did you put your input on that yet?
I have not, but I'm embarrassed to say that I don't even know what's going on. I've just seen his name in the headlines, and I know that it's something big, but I can't tell you anything.
Oh, okay. Well, long story short is Brian Williams is the most trusted newsman in America, blah, blah, blah. I've loved him for a long time, and he's I love it when he goes on the David Letterman show. They have such a great conversation. I had no idea anything was going on. Apparently, I think as Kelly was talking about, he claimed to be on a helicopter that got blown up or was shot down or something, and he said this like 12 years ago. Well, the people who were on that, you know, that mission per se, have come forward as they've seen it on social media, I believe. And now Brian is being discredited. He apologized for it, saying that it was a misinterpretation or mismemory. And he took a few days off, and now he's been suspended for 6 months for investigation, because also it's come to light that maybe a couple other things haven't been truthful and factful that he has said. And now another guy is stepping in for him for the next 6 months. And as one of the talk shows said, you know, after 6 months, if he's, you know, if the ratings with this guy who's stepping in are good or even better, Brian Williams who? And it really is sad, because, you know, it's social media that really kind of brought this together, I believe. And you know, he is the number one news for nighttime news. And, you know, this has now come to light. Now, there's a lot of people who get excited and they exaggerate the truth, but you don't lie or misconstrue the truth about being on a helicopter that blew up or got hit by an RPG. So, and then continue to add on to that story as the years gone by, and he's told this to Letterman and other shows as well. So this is really big. I mean, this is really big for the news industry. So, I just wanted to touch topic on that, because it is such a big hot topic this week. Anything else, Kelly, on that?
No, I mean, like, I just don't. You know, he's trying to say that, you know, oh, I have a memory problem. Dude, no, you don't have a memory problem. You have a lying problem. Okay? You have a lying problem. And if I was, you know, like if I was him, I would be, you know, like I would be ashamed. I would be embarrassed that, I mean, like I have, there are probably few people that I have more respect for on this planet than soldiers who fight for my freedom. And to, mm-hmm. you know, to insert yourself into a situation where you're basically like completely disrespecting, you know, this group of, you know, this group of people, you know, who are fighting, you know, to keep us free, you know, like it's disrespectful. And I watch the nightly news every once in a while. I will not watch it again if he comes back because I, you know, like even if he is just reading a teleprompter, like I don't trust him. You know, and I have zero respect for him.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll continue to see, you know, what happens with this. It sucks because I am a fan of his. I don't watch the news because I don't have cable, but I do enjoy when he goes on to David Letterman because you know, for fans of David Letterman, you know, he's always the funny man, blah, blah, blah. But when he gets someone serious on there, like, you know, Dr. Phil or Brian Williams or Bill O'Reilly, I enjoy seeing that side of David as well. So it's tough because he had to cancel. He was going to be on David Letterman this week, but because of the circumstances, he had to cancel him back out. So anyway, let's move on to go back to the Grammys for a minute because I wanted, I know you didn't watch them, Kelly, but I just want to ask Michael. One of the big things that I enjoyed was the emergence of Madonna. Madonna has got a brand new album coming out March 3rd, I believe, and there's already been drama and trouble behind the scenes because somebody in Israel leaked the demos, the first set of demos, and then a few weeks later, another 13 demos were released that were not finished. They weren't polished. They weren't ready for production and ready to be released. So Madonna went ahead and released the first six tracks as an EP, and then on the night of the Grammy, she released three more for everybody who pre-ordered. And then the full album, the full double album of 25 tracks, the final version leaked last week. So it's just been just, you know, crazy. And she got a hold of the people who leaked the original set of demos. But anyway, nonetheless, the album is out there. It is, you can hear it. I'm still going to purchase my official copy when it comes out, but this super deluxe one has 25 songs and it's a fantastic album. It's probably one of her best in a decade, I believe. She released a video last week that was very sexy and different than what she's ever done before. She kind of paid homage to her old song, Take a Bow, with its own sequel called You'll See, from the 90s and 2000s. And then it's got that whole bullfighting imagery in it, except this time it's like manatars, you know, with the hot men with bodies with the bull head on, and it's very velvety red color, and the song is fantastic. I love it. It's just got a great beat. It's a new, different type of tune for her, and so she released the video, and then she appeared and debuted on the Grammys. So, so what did you think about the Grammy, the performance, and the video, Michael?
Yeah. Oh, I love Madonna. I'll say that. I always have. When I remember being like 1990, 89 or 90, and MTV had a Madonna-thon, and we were not allowed to watch MTV as kids because bad influences and all that. But I remember really, really, you know, secretly watching the video marathon, and I remember seeing the Live to Tell video, and she's just in a simple dress on a chair while, you know, scenes from At Close Range starring Sean Penn played in the background. I remember thinking, why is everyone crazy about this? This is fantastic. I should be allowed to watch this. And so I just loved her from back in the day. So I'll defend her to the end. I personally haven't had a problem with the last couple of albums. I know that, you know, people are saying that this one, she's returned to form. It's personal again. There's melodies, all of that. And I think that's true, but I like the last album, MDNA, best divorce record I ever heard. So, this just makes me happy that she's back, and it's just fun to kind of see her on the Grammys. I don't even know the last time. Has she ever performed on the Grammys? Do you know, or if she has, it's been a while, I would imagine.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah, but the song, I remember when I heard the song the first time, it took a few listens for me to get into it. It was a couple of the other ones I loved right away. And it's funny because it kind of channels back to like house music from the 90s that's kind of like being sampled now in songs. And the best part about it to me is that she was there then. So it's not even as if she's this new artist, like looking back on history, like let's take a little bit of that. She's like, I was here the first time. I'm just going to take some of what I did and I'm going to update it and make it modern. And I thought that was really cool that she's kind of stayed. You know, you have icons like Cher who are still around and still doing great work, but they've had years where they've kind of been out of the public eye, or they've had years where they've become laughable or, you know, not as well respected. And I don't really think Madonna's ever had that. So at least in my eyes. Yeah. So the video was great. The performance was great. And I just love when, you know, the performance is done and, you know, she kind of gets like pulled up toward the ceiling and they pan out to the audience. You saw all these current people like clapping and applauding her. And it wasn't like being mad or like, you know, angry or anything. Like they were respecting her and glad that she was back. So,
yeah, I love it. Exactly. Yeah. Very, very excited for her. And, you know, once you get a chance to listen to the album, I'm anxious to talk to you about that as well and what your thoughts are. Well, we have been pumped. That, if I don't end that sentence, that's going to sound very dirty. But we have been pumped, fed, force-fed, overstimulated. Maybe I should just sit there and fantasize what I'm talking about. Anyway, for the last year, they have done nothing but market the movie that's opening up tomorrow, 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh.
It's actually opening up. It's opening up tonight. Starting at 8 o'clock p.m. everywhere for the preview shows, and it's already sold out here tonight for my local city. So we've seen, you know, the fans are not fans, but the people have been forced. It's on their timelines. It's everywhere. It's marketing. There's clips. There's books. There's people standing in line. I mean, it's just a uproar. I don't think we ever talked about it on the show, and if we have, I totally forgot it because I have a memory of an aunt. So. My question is, what do you think of the phenomenon, and are you going to see the movie, Kelly?
No, not going to watch it. There's something about it. I know my voice probably not my voice so much, but you know I do have, and I'm now. Let me preface this by saying I'm not saying people who do want to watch the movie and do want to go see it don't have morals and don't have values. I'm not saying that in any way, but me myself, I would feel uncomfortable watching the movie. I read one chapter of the first book, and I was like, I can't do this. I feel like a lot of times, like I do stuff. And of course, bless my heart. It's not in all aspects of life, but in a lot of them, you know, like if I can't watch a movie like with my mom, then I'm probably not going to watch it at all. And I mean, like the fact that it's so insane and it's everywhere. And I mean, like, you know, it's literally everywhere. And you know, and that's fine. So be it. I mean, I'm just not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not.
Okay. That's all right. And Michael, what are your thoughts on the phenomenon? And are you going to see the movie?
Well, okay. Yes. Let's start up front that I'm part of the problem because so many people are going to see this. It's going to make so much money and it's going to be mistaken. I think I'm speaking before I see the movie. I feel it's going to be mistaken as success and people want this and we need to make more. And I read the first book just because everybody was doing it. And I did not care for it. And I know there's a sequel and another sequel, it's a trilogy. And everyone says, oh, if you read the second book, you understand why he is the way he is. He didn't do anything that made me want to care about him in the first book. So why should I invest time in reading the other book? On top of that, it wasn't very well written. People said that about Twilight, but to me, Twilight was a good story, so I got over that. There's no story here, so I'm going purely out of curiosity because sex is such a big part of the movie, and penises are such a big part of the movie. It's penis on every page, and so I really am curious how did they adapt it to the screen. We already know there's no full frontal male nudity that's been put out there, so I'm like, okay, I mean, they don't have to show it, I get that, but I just want to know, how do you take a book with so much sex and put it on screen and still give it an R rating? So I'm going more out of curiosity because I want to see. And Yeah, that's it. I'm just curious. So I'm going to go see it, but I'm not going to like it one bit.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go see it this weekend as well, just to, out of curiosity. I didn't read the books. I'm not a book reader. I can barely read a paragraph and remember what I read, let alone read, you know, trilogies of women and men sex. Now, maybe if it was a gay, 50 Shades of Gay or something like that, maybe I'd be interested in a little bit more. But that's a whole other story and a whole other type of film. But I'm going to go check it out. You know, this is just a little promotion for anybody who has an AMC theater near where you're at. AMC theaters are one of the biggest theaters in the country, and they have a thing that's like Netflix. It's called Movie Pass, and you can sign up for it. It's $35 a month, and you get a card, and you download the app on your phone, and you look for what time, you know, what movie or what, you know, what time and what movie you want. You click the time and you click check in. Then you just go and you swipe the card. It's like a credit card, but it's just a movie pass card with your name and number on the name and the number on it. And you use that as a form of payment. Well, I use it today for the first time. You get the first 2 weeks free, and then it's $35 a month. You get to see one movie every 24 hours. So you can see anywhere from 28 to 31 movies per month. And it pays off as long as you see at least three or four movies. So it's a great thing. So today I used it for the first time, and I went to go see Project Almanac, which is a new sci-fi movie out, and it was pretty cool. So I just want to recommend that. I didn't know anything about it. It just came across my feed on Facebook, and I was like, what's this? And I was like, oh, this is so much cheaper because, you know, spending, you know, it depends on what market you live in, but you could spend anywhere from, you know, $7 to $10, $11 on a matinee, and even more later in the day. So you can go any time of the day with this card. You can go see premieres. The only thing it doesn't cover is 3D. It covers the movie, but if there's a surcharge for the 3D, like $2 or $3, you just have to pay that, which isn't bad. So there's a little plug there for @MoviePass on Twitter, and you can go to moviepass.com and also to amctheaters.com for more information. There you go. There's my little ad for the day. But anyway, since I'm paying for this to go see as many movies I want, I'm like, okay, might as well go check it out. It's pretty much not free, but it's part of my plan with MoviePass. So I'm going to check it out and just, you know, and I'll talk about it next week, you know, what my thoughts are on it and everything. But, you know, the whole thing that they cut out a lot of footage, but yet there's 20 minutes of sex scenes in it and stuff. This is 2015. I expect full frontal male nudity by 2015. Okay. Yeah. This whole, it's okay for women to show their beavers and boobs for decades is ridiculous. I'm over it. I'm tired of seeing that. Why can't mainstream movies show full frontal? Breasts are external. Penises are external. What's the big deal? A woman's vagina is internal, just covered by hair, if you have it. So I know it's kind of a little too much information there, but I'm just saying, I don't get it. You know, I know Hollywood's run by, it's a guy's club, so it's mostly run by men. So if some women can get in there, and it's not that we need to see it, but I think it should be available.
It's
going to
be a big deal if it is shown. Yes.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think it should be like, oh my God, there's a penis. It should be, because I mean, I, as a gay man, say, oh my God, there's a, ugh. I mean, I don't want to see that. So I know the straight guys don't want to see it, but, you know, lesbians don't want to see certain things. Gay people, I mean, all of the spectrum of sexualities just want to enjoy a good movie. And being a good movie is being fair. If a man and a woman both are equally allowed to be on the movie or cable television show, you know, fully nude, then by all means, we do get a glimpse of it here and there. We had a movie called Shame that came out a couple years ago with Michael Fassbender, and you got to see his well throughout the movie, and which kudos to that, you know, director and producer and Michael himself. You know, we saw Gone Girl or Girl Gone this year, and we got a millisecond of Ben Affleck's, you know, stuff. So, you know, it shouldn't be such a big deal. So getting back to the point of this movie, as it being such a sexual driven movie and trilogy, and I don't know how graphic the books are as far as the male anatomy, but I'm not asking for porn. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for that, because you can go online and you see that for free. But I'm, you know, be fair, Hollywood, but are we ever going to get it? Well, I mean, it's taken this long just to get gay marriage in the damn country. You know, I would think that, you know, we should get a little bit of more, some more penis on our, that's just my spot.
I would like to just take this moment in case, actor Ewan McGregor, if you are listening, thank you for always having your pants off in all of your movies. It's been appreciated.
Yes. Thank you, because he is the one actor in like 75% of his films, even from his early ones in Trainspotting, mm-hmm. Ewan McGregor has never had a problem showing his stuff. So Hollywood actors who are, if you're, you know, look at Mark Wahlberg had a fake one at the end of Boogie Nights. So, I mean, if you're not, so what if you don't have a big one? Who cares? We don't care about that. It's about the intimacy between you and your partner. You know, if people are, you know, embarrassed that they're going to get erect or something like that, because, you know, an erection is one thing. That's, you know, there we go. We can go to porn for that. But just, you know, casual, you know, walking around. I've seen plenty of films, you know, not in the mainstream that, you know, just guys walking around. Women walk around. Let a guy walk around. Okay. So let me ask Kelly, since, you know, Kelly likes the penis.
I'm sorry. I love that exact segue, since Kelly likes penis.
I'm not alone in this group.
No, actually, all three of us like it, so it's okay. So would you like to see, you know, more of that in film? Or are you more like, nah, I'd rather not?
Well, I'm kind of, this takes me back to that clip that you played from the Rosie O'Donnell comedy thing. Like, they are not attractive. So do I want to see them on television? Not so much. I guess I just really don't have an opinion, because I don't want to start watching, you know, like How to Get Away with Murder, and then just one of them pop out. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, no, I don't want to see that. You know, as a woman, I don't know how I feel about, like, you know, like, it's so not okay to show, you know, a man's stuff, but, you know, a woman's stuff can be plastered all over television. I don't mm-hmm. know how comfortable I am with that. Now, like, when you were talking about that, like, I was thinking, you know, like, I was a big fan of True Blood, and I watched every episode at least, like, three times. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was probably, like, the second episode, and you see, like, full frontal of some random girl. Like, you see everything. Like, yeah. everything. But it was, like, they finally, after, like, six seasons total, it wasn't until the fifth season that, you know, they actually did show a man's junk. And I mean, like, I don't want to, I wasn't upset about, you know, not seeing it. I didn't really care that it was on there, because it was just a split second. So I didn't, you know, it wasn't like a huge deal. But I was just like, you know, it took them 5 years. And this is on HBO. It took them 5 years, you know, to put a pecker on TV, when you just, you know, full frontals of women all day long in every episode. So it's like, you know, like, what? It's such a double standard. Like, it's not okay to put a penis on television, but, you know, like, boobies and whatnot are okay. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Well, I think we'll end on that. with boobies and peckers.
I mean, how can you? What else could you add to that?
I really can't add much more to that, unless I get a penis pump to make it bigger to add more to that. So, with that being said, I think we should wrap up. I got to go download this and edit it and upload it and all that kind of stuff that we have to do. So, for those who listen to this live all the way through, God bless you. Otherwise, we're going to be doing this more, but they're going to be shorter. I always say they're going to be shorter, but with a penis pump, they always end up bigger. So with that being said, mm-hmm. thank you, Courtney. If you're listening in still, thank you for joining us. I know you'll be back next week to cover days. And thank you, Kelly, for well, I'd rather you be out on a hot date with your man than be here with us, but unfortunately that then. So we were your date tonight. So two gays for one. There you go. Michael,
there you go.
Michael, thank you so much for being here. And you didn't get called away, so that was also great.
Yes, thank
so thank you, students, for not interrupting my co-host. And
yes.
I want to wish you both a happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy some time to yourself. Do something good for yourself. If you're missing some full frontal, there's always websites for it. And you can ask Michael where they're at. And
you can.
That's about it. Well, with that being said, I'm also I'm starting a lot more shows on Air with Doug, so don't miss out. Be sure to go to honorwithdouglas.com where I do all my celebrity interviews. I've got some people coming up that you probably never heard of, but if you listen to them, you might become fans of. So go to honorwithdouglas.com. Also, my show, Men Who Gossip, is going to be starting very soon because RuPaul Drag Race is starting up on March 2nd. So Men Who Gossip will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays will be the RuPaul Drag Race recap, which will be a half-hour show, and then we're going to do Hot Topics on Thursday's show, which is also the same day as this, but it's at 9 p.m. instead of 7 p.m. So I get to do two shows on Thursday and gobble that up with a bunch of talking. So I'm done. So thank you guys for being here, and everybody that's listening, thank you for listening and appreciate it. You can follow the show here at Hot Topic. Yeah, don't follow Hot Topic. It's a store that's closing across the country. Don't do that. Follow at Talk Soap. You can follow me at In Bed with Red. You can follow Kelly at Kelly Beth with an I. You can follow Michael at MPGRASSO. Yes, he's an ass. And you can also follow our new co-host Courtney at three B. Just the letter B, and then Soap Reviews. She has a show on Blog Talk Radio as well on Sundays, so her added input will help our listeners with some Days of Our Lives recap. All right, I think we're all done, and we'll be back next Thursday at 7 p.m. for another edition of Talk Soap. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Talk Soap. And don't forget, the first and only rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap.